This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What's up and welcome back to the Kind of Funny Games cast. Of course, I am Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
And PlayStation tweeted out, millions of Roblox experiences are now on PlayStation. Greg?
Yeah.
Me and you? Some Roblox?
No, I'm too busy. We were just talking before we went live about games that have gone live that you didn't realize went live. Do you remember Wayfinder? It came into early access. That was a game like on a Games Daily. Months ago, somebody had told me, that's a great game. And then I read it, and then they was like, oh, actually, it got delayed. And I totally forgot all about it. And then I saw it today, like, we got a content update. I'm like, oh, wait a second. Let's get on this.
Are you going to get into Roblox Plus?
Maybe.
Yeah?
No,
this could
no.
be the moment?
That's a no.
Yeah, I mean you got way more into Dreams than I ever thought you would have.
I mean, Dreams was the dream. Like, Dreams delivered on what it was supposed to be. Roblox is already successful on other platforms, so that's on PlayStation.
Also, Long Gone Days is out. You remember this? This is that indie game that was a JRPG inspired. I think it was in the first kind of one of the Kind of Funny Game showcases. Barrett, if you want to bring up Long Gone Days video game,
bring up Roblox also.
The anti. honestly,
Andy, that'd be you know a what fun the fuck game. Roblox
bring up
looks like?
Three things that look like Roblox. Yes. And I'll tell you if it's actually Roblox.
Yeah, I know what Roblox is because I have two nieces and a nephew, and anytime I go back home, they are on all of the laptops that my parents have because you could just play it in the browser and it looks like garbage.
This was Roblox.
No, this is what I was talking about, Long Gone Days, where we did this JRPG that's like anti-war or whatever, and they showed, remember the people were like riding on a little, yeah, there it is, that thing. We showed this during a showcase and we all were like, whoa, this looks awesome, blah, blah, blah. And then I totally forgot about it and didn't hear anything, and then it's out now.
Wow.
It's all happening, guys. Video games
are here. A very unenthusiastic wow from Tim.
I'm coming in late today. I was playing games at home all day. Yeah. So getting back in the studio or getting to the studio for the first time today, I don't feel warmed up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not there yet.
Wow. You want
I will say, I did see, I think Long Gone Days was on the Out Today today, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because I saw it and I looked it up because I was like, oh, Long Gone Days. That sounds really familiar. And I watched the trailer. I was like, oh, I must be mistaken.
You already heard him. But of course, that is the big daddy, Greg Miller.
Hi.
And the one and only Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Hey, everybody.
I have no idea what Roblox looks like. Like, not the slightest clue. Like, do
I'm
you?
I'm shocked. Yes. It's Greg, like one of the most popular things ever.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Everybody's got massive shoulders. Like, everybody.
Bring
just
up Roblox. Bring
I mean, I've
up
seen
Terraria,
the Kanye video. That's,
bring up
that's,
Minecraft.
This is Paragon.
This is Paragon.
Damn.
This is a good try, Barrett.
I mean, I wanted to fool Tim. You guys didn't have to say anything. Jeez.
I have a concept of what it looks like. I've never actually seen it.
It looks
I don't
like
think.
It looks like when Mega Bloks is trying to rip off Lego with their figurines.
Don't,
and you're
don't,
like,
don't start us.
Start this.
Don't start.
Oh, I know. I've heard about this. I do also think of Mega Bloks as kids' toys, as a baby gigantic ones.
Yeah.
But I'm to help you all out with this sort of comparison.
Can I see Roblox?
When you bring up Roblox, the characters look like, oh, those are the ripoff Legos, you know, Duplos or no, Duplo but is like, Lego,
isn't it,
but
isn't it the Duplo is a DJ? Isn't it the thing where
Diplo
start the show?
Of course, this is the Kind of Funny Games cast.
Show me Roblox. What the fuck?
But like Roblox is one of those ones where I get the impression that
I could
it could be
guess
anything.
Wrong. I
right?
could easily guess wrong.
Because it's like Dreams where you can like sure there's like a base art style that I think that does look like Duplo / Mega Bloks type thing.
Not a chance. I could have told you this was Roblox.
But like you can turn Roblox into whatever you want. And that's how kids are playing it, where they're like, oh yeah, let's play this game, and the game that they're talking about is within Roblox.
I mean, didn't you watch the video of H Bomber guy talking about
the
oomph sound effect? Yeah, it was from Roblox.
But see, here's the thing. I feel less crazy now because having seen what we just saw, none of that looks consistent with
Yeah. And,
like, second to second, it looks different. I guess if you see a screenshot, you wouldn't know.
I think that's getting more into the dreams aspect of it. But when
what is just base Roblox?
When I think Roblox, it's like a Minecraft looking block.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's what I would have expected, but that's not what I just looked
at. Because anytime I would
throw
see
the special menu at you. Anytime, hey, show me a McDonald's food item, and he's showing you a salad shaker. You're like, I don't.
Yeah.
This is what McDonald's is?
I think of Carl Jacobs playing first person shooters with the blocky characters, you know?
Like, this is what you think of him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bless the show. Yes,
thank you.
Barrett's looking for special B-roll. Who knows what he's doing over there?
Find me a McDonald's Roblox.
That was good. That was good.
Happy Meals in the cage. Go in.
Anyway,
I don't know about all this, y'all. Was it worth it? I don't think so, though, out there playing these Roblox. It surprises me and also doesn't that your nieces and nephew play this game.
Are they all
like? But it's odd because it's not like they are really talking about it outside of when they're playing it. It's one of those weird games that just kind of exists. It's like, it's got its Fall Guys ripoff clone stuff where you're running through obstacles. It has its like Squid Game type of ripoff things where it's like, oh, red light, green light, all those little mini games. And I just always see them and like,
Roblox just feels like the new mobile game for kids.
But the thing is, it's not new, right? Like, Roblox has been out for like six or something.
But new and just new like era. In the zeitgeist of like just
well,
all the
we're
kids.
We're so late to the zeitgeist. Like, Roblox was hot in like 2015.
But I also know that
but the kids are still playing it.
Roblox is known for just like ripping off.
Yeah, but
kids
I feel like
for
they're coming
games.
Off of Roblox to like get into Fortnite.
No.
Like,
no.
I think Roblox is the old Fortnite at this point. And like, some kids
they're
are still playing
currently,
it.
Currently, I think.
But I think kids are playing it the way that kids are still playing Minecraft. Like, I compare Roblox more to Minecraft. I feel like that's the East Coast, West Coast beef of kids games.
Duplo, the DJ.
Where I feel like you in like the early 2010s, you came up playing either Minecraft or Roblox, and then Fortnite came through and then was like the new hotness.
Yeah. Speaking of new hotness, this is the Kind of Funny Games cast. Each and every week, we get together to talk about video games and all the things that we love about them. And video games have been popping off. We've had reviews left and right, and we're going to continue that rolling on the next couple weeks with some of the biggest reviews this side of the salad shaker at McDonald's. We can talk about Spider-Man review going up next week. Spider-Man 2, really excited about that. Got a whole bunch of other fun content surrounding that as well. Also, other big games going to be reviewed, so stay tuned, everybody. You can stay tuned to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or roosterteeth.com for the video versions. But if you want the audio version, check your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Games Cast, and we'll be right there for you. If you want to go above and beyond, though, patreon.com/kindoffunny gets you the show ad free. It lets you watch the show live as we record it, and it lets you be a super dope Patreon producer like Jedi Master Deadpool and Delaney Twining. It also gets you access to a whole bunch of bonus content like Kind of Feudy, and we're about to record an episode right after this that I can't wait for because I'm gonna win.
We'll see about that.
Today we're brought to you by BetterHelp, but I'll tell you all about that later. The topic of the show today is predicting the 6 Game Awards nominees. We've been seeing a lot of people post this. Jeff tweeted out the image of the Game Awards coming December 7th, so people have been listing their predictions on what will be in the Big 6.
New font.
In 2020. You're right. I didn't even notice.
It's no longer the wide font.
Yeah. This is a game changer.
It's massive.
And these overlays are going to have to all get updated.
Here's the thing.
This is exciting.
Here's the thing. Jeff has always been very graceful in replying to my tweets and letting me know what the font is. Yeah. So I need to ask him once again, what is the font?
What is the font?
Please let me know.
Fantastic.
Last time I did it, though, one of their design people hit me up and was like, here's what you... I got.
Did you ask yet?
Huh?
Did you ask yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
But he's going to ignore you if you ask for me.
Well, if I ask in his Instagram DMs and include something about the Flash, I'll be ignored.
Yeah.
Yeah. But before we get into that, though, I want to talk about something a little bit more topical to the now. You and Nick did a little Steam Next Fest situation, right?
Yeah, we streamed. We thought today was going to be a Next Fest stream, playing all the coolest demos on Steam. Little did we know that we would be sucked into the world of RoboCop Rogue City.
Yeah!
And it's legitimately probably like a 4 or 5 hour demo. We got about, you know, most of the way through it, I feel. It just never ended. This demo never ended.
What, like, hyperbole aside, is it 4 hours?
We didn't finish it. We started at 11:30. We got to around 2 p.m. and there was still many different missions to take on. Greg was right. Greg's a tastemaker.
Thank you.
This game is like not awesome, but amazingly awesome. Like it's doing a lot of weird kind of goofy things with dialogue. A lot of the voice acting is very B-tier 80s type stuff. But it's a lot of fun, and it's straight up just an RPG. Like I kind of forgot that you had mentioned and dove into what the game actually is, because at first glance, I thought this was going to be a Wolfenstein-style game where it's just super linear, just go through a story and just blast dudes' heads off and throw people through windows. But it's straight up like a first-person RPG where you have a big skill tree, you are doing different dialogue options based on how you treat certain citizens, the streets will treat you good or badly. Like it is wild.
Did you do the thing where you work the complaint desk at the police station?
No.
You can go to like have like that, you know, just where the front desk where people come in. You can just go stand there and people talk to you. And you don't really, you just like make choices.
That's awesome. Yeah, there was a moment where there was a dude doing graffiti and we were like, do we want to arrest this guy or do we want to like be cool with him? We decided to like fine him $100 or whatever. And people in our chat were like, if you let him go off with a warning instead of fining him, he would then tag over other graffiti with like pro RoboCop propaganda tagging. It's just so hilarious. Like the amount of things that can happen in this game, this is not a gigantic open world game, mind you. Like we are doing so many missions in the, you know, the gross area of Detroit, and it is straight up like no bigger than the studio that we're in right now. Like it is very much like you go answer a phone. They're like, yeah, go to this apartment. It's in the red apartment. This block, 49th Street or whatever. And it's like 80 feet away. and you just walk down there
but you don't walk like a normal person. You walk like RoboCop.
And you can go a little bit faster, but not too much faster. It's hilarious and it's awesome. And it's super, you know, bloody and gory.
Throwing people through the windows of high rises.
Oh my God. The funniest part, and we need to get it clipped out because Nick was like, oh my God, Nick is freaking out at all of this. Like his dreams are coming true. And we get into the parking lot structure underground and he's like, holy shit, they just straight up modeled the whole underground parking lot where all the cop cars are. And he goes, oh, there's the ramp. And the coolest shit in the movies is like anytime a car would go up the ramp, they'd hit the front of the ramp and the sparks would go out because they were too low. We get into the car and we say leave parking station. The sparks go out and we're like, oh my God, they did the spark! Like it feels so authentic. As somebody who rarely, you know, vaguely kind of knows RoboCop, I've seen just a lot of clips of it. It's hysterical in how accurate all these things were, and they were just making Nick fanboy. Yeah, he's telling me about the sparks right here in the video clip for audio listeners. And then the sparks actually happened, and we had like a fanboy moment. It's hysterical. This game's awesome. He was like, I want to fully. He was like, I thought this was gonna be a stupid ass game. This is kind of blowing my mind with how well thought out it is. But it's still like really cheesy and dumb in a lot of moments. But I still came away very, very impressed in this 2-hour experience.
That is awesome. Do we know when's it coming out?
No clue.
November is what Steam's saying now. Because when I went and previewed this right before SGF, and that's where I did it, there was a, hey, like, this is supposed to be out in the summer or whatever, September. And I remember like, hey, wait a second. I was looking for that RoboCop game and it never came out. What the heck or whatever. And yeah, it wasn't out yet. Sadly.
You go to a basketball court at one point to like talk to somebody and the guy's like, hey, what are you doing here? Fucking RoboCop or whatever. And one of the dialogue options that you have to respond to with is, I can realistically break your ankles as well or something like that, like on the court and in real life or whatever. So great. The writing is so cheesy. It's the dialogue is going to make you laugh in a lot of moments because these guys are just so stupid. The voice acting is really bad. And I kind of hope it's bad on purpose. That's what I'm assuming. So
that's what I've been doing and slacking myself a link for, because I remember when I talked about this back in June, we did a breakout, right? And it was based, and the tweet was, I played RoboCop Rogue City and ... it's pretty fun. And it's a clip from me, Gamescast, talking all the same shit we're talking, with saying, yeah, I enjoyed myself. To which Yeah, the developer quote tweeted it and said, RoboCop Rogue City is definitely, and then puts in all italics, pumped with humor and satire, and then the eyes emoji, like, get ready to become part man, part machine. Like, they know what they're doing. They know what RoboCop is. This is not going to be a 9 out of 10 game, but it's going to be a fun, weird, really detailed RoboCop RPG.
Yeah.
Like, the skill trees are so fucking deep.
Yeah, deep systems. There's moments where, you know, I'm thinking of my time with Cyberpunk or Starfield, where you walk up to a safe and it's like, you don't have enough deduction skill points.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I need to put points into deduction. And by doing so, I can gather evidence all around the world, or I could just take down baddies and keep on doing little side quests. It is surprisingly deep. And, you know, there's moments where you just have a mission where you got to go talk to Herrera and she's over there in the locker room, and you go talk and she's like, oh, my brother's missing, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I will take care of that. it's hilarious.
Did you get to do the demo? Did you get to do the thing I talked about in the last time where it was you call the guy who's a drug dealer and he's trying to play dumb, and then people break into his room and he's like, RoboCop, come help me. And you get over there and like there's this whole confrontation on the thing that's like this really detailed, hilarious supply and demand argument of like, that's predatory practices.
Yeah.
We want to do that.
It's people on the roof talking to this guy about like how he's cornering the market for the drug nuke. And they're like, look, it's simple supply and demand. With profits up, you're doing it. It's like these gangsters talking to this dude.
You're on the verge of antitrust.
Yeah. And then RoboCop walks out and he's like, enough with this economic talk or whatever. And he just shoots everybody down. It's hilarious. It's a great time. This game's going to be like a solid 6 out of 10. But it's going to be a freaking blast for anybody who gets into it.
Bless, have you ever watched RoboCop?
I've not, actually. I'm similar as Andy, where I've only seen clips.
I have not seen it either. But did you know that there's a scene where a dude gets his dick blown off?
I've seen that scene particularly.
Well, there's enemies in this game that like don't wear pants and they just have underwear on, but they have really good face protectors, like steel helmets or whatever. You can't shoot them in the head. You have to shoot him in the dick.
In the head, yeah.
Yeah, you got to shoot him in the other head. It's a great time. Like, shoot out windows, grab people, launch them across the... It's so gory and stupid and over the top, and they're nailing the tone. Yeah, good time.
Hell yeah. Any other Steam stuff to talk about?
No, I mean, I talked about another Crab's Treasure that I played, which, you know, Steam Next Fest is officially now. So go download a bunch of demos if you want to go try out a bunch of random games for a bunch of random developers. But... another Crab's Treasure debuted about a week ago. They dropped their demo about a week ago, like a week prior to Next Fest. And it's a great time. The boss fights were a blast, and it's really, really tough and punishing. Love it.
Can't wait.
Well, yeah. All right, so then moving on to the Game Awards conversation here, all right?
Go.
So, 6 nominees for the Game Awards. Let's start there. Do we think the number stays 6?
Yeah, they moved up to that, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah. I think they'll stay there.
I think so, too.
You don't think it'll... Like, what's
bring
that?
Bring it down to one.
No, what's the one award show that's not the Oscars?
Oscars, Emmys,
Golden Globes, where they have like
MTV.
12. They have like 12 comedy and then 12 drama or whatever. Like, we don't ever see that number raising up.
I hope not.
I feel like 6 is like...
Man, this year's going to be so many snubs. It's crazy.
Yeah. Snub Central. That's what we're going to get into. I want to start the conversation then, if we're assuming it's going to be 6... What are the guarantees that there's no chance in hell these games aren't there?
I think there's only 2.
Baldur's Gate.
Legend of Zelda.
Yep. Right? Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, and Baldur's Gate 3.
I agree.
That's it.
So those are the 2 locks.
Thanks
so then we
the
only have 4
everybody.
Spots left then to fill out what we think is going to make it. And again, remember, the way that these things are chosen is a whole bunch of the different outlets out there get to vote and nominate what they want, and then whatever gets the most. Those are the 6 that... are actually at the show. So Paris Lily posted his 6.
Me, Paris,
not
Paris Plus.
Not as good, not as good as Andy's.
No, me and Bus had a whole thing today. Let's hear it.
Oh yeah, we got attacked.
In my opinion.
Yeah, that's good.
His are Super Mario Brothers Wonder, Sea of Stars, Final Fantasy 16 (parentheses y'all write about Diablo). I don't know what that means. Zelda, Baldur's Gate 3, and Starfield. So obviously, we're working off something interesting here where we are talking about... Sorry, I should have set this up earlier even. obviously Game Awards nominees aren't the full year game. It's not 365. Normally it's the cutoffs are what, second week?
Somewhere in November. Yeah,
November,
yeah.
Something like that. And so games that came out the second half of November or in December last year will qualify for this year. Recently we went through a list of those and it doesn't look like there's anything.
Yeah, we didn't have anything that I remember
getting
cut out.
When did Pentiment come out?
Before that, because I think Pentiment was nominated for awards last year.
I think that was an RPG or maybe an indie or something.
It wasn't big enough to get Game of the Year nominated, I think.
Right.
But that game kicks ass.
Got the date
throw there. It up. Let's,
yeah,
let's,
it came out November 15th.
Let's make fun of Paris.
I believe
again.
That was
toss
before the thing.
So there we go. Then we got
look at this idiot.
Anything that like
I'll whip you.
Coming out this year would be November 15th would be or around there we assume will be the cutoff point. So that means that there's going to be a couple games here that we haven't played yet. Mario Wonder,
oh, yeah.
Spider-Man 2, Alan Wake 2.
That's why it gets so interesting.
Yeah.
Is that I think we could sit here and we're going to say a bunch of stuff that I kind of feel is going to be out of date. Maybe immediately, a moot point, if you will. If Alan Wake is as good as I want it to be off that E3 SGF demo, right? If Spider-Man 2 is as good as you made it seem from your preview, if Mario Wonder is as good as you made it seem from your preview on Games Daily, you know what I mean? Like, all three of those get added into the pot of games we already have, throw back up Paris's thing, and that's where I think a lot of Paris's shit starts exploding immediately.
Immediately.
And that's why this guy's an idiot. Sea of Stars, underplayed,
no
won't be there.
Not a prayer.
Starfield, too polarizing.
Starfield not going to be there.
Sorry, really quick, with Sea of Stars, I feel like that, like even before Spider-Man, Mario Wonder,
there.
And all that, like, I don't even know if Sea of Stars even would make this list even without those games.
Yeah,
you know?
I think Sea of Stars has a tough time even getting into, like, the list of RPG nominees, let alone Game of the Year nominees.
I bet it gets RPG nominee.
Yeah, I think it'll easily get nominated.
I think it gets...
I don't know about it easily, but I think it could get in there.
He said easily.
Easy.
He said easily. Yeah, with me, I feel like Super Mario Bros. Wonder is going to get that. You know when people kind of give you shit and they're like, yeah, but if this didn't have the Zelda name on it, would it be in that same sort of conversation? I think Mario Bros. Wonder gets thrown on there because it seems to be this return to form with the ultimate creativity, and it seems like that. I feel like it's kind of, you got to put it on there. It's the big Nintendo game of the year. Aside from Tears.
Yeah, aside from the big one.
That's exactly how I feel about Spider-Man 2. Right? I think, like, if Spider-Man 2 is what Tim's talked about in the previews, right, and what the internet's talked about in the previews, and if it is just a straight-up follow-up to Spider-Man 1, I think it gets put in there just based on it's the big PlayStation game of the year, and it's Spider-Man, right? You have that name recognition. So I honestly think, like, as we go through both Super Mario and Spider-Man, I'm putting in as locks.
I'm taking Spider-Man out, and I'm saying Alan Wake 2 is going to be the darling of this year. Like,
and see, again, with Fog of War right here, a week from the Spider-Man review, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from Alan Wake 2's review, right? Like, that is still the thing. You look back at 2018, Spider-Man getting snubbed in every category it was in, except DICE Awards, like music or something, audio. Like, you wonder if Alan Wake being something decidedly different puts it above Spider-Man being, theoretically off Tim's preview, this is more Spider-Man. This is great.
Yeah, it's rough, though, because it's Spider-Man. And, like, more Spider-Man still means it is going to be something that is appreciated by... appreciated by, like...
He did such a great face. You didn't see his face. He did such a great, like, Willem Dafoe face. It was very creepy.
Spider-Man, because of the character and the IP that it is, like, is so beloved by so many that there's more inherent interest in it, I would say, than something like a horror game that's a sequel that people might not have played and, like, there's questions around. And also, it's Insomniac, it's PlayStation, it is presented. People know what the Spider-Man franchise is.
But, Tim, we're the gaming press. We love to sniff our own farts. They're going to say, it's Spider-Man. It's just fucking more superheroes. Alan Wake, Cerebro. It's horror.
Yeah, well, but you look at the Game of the Year nominees in the past, and they don't think that way.
That's my thing is, like, I think when you get to nominees, right, I think it is more of a popularity game than this is objectively the better thing game, better game thing, right? Of, like, you know, Spider-Man 2 is going to be the most played game of the year or one of the most played games of the year just based on the fact that it's Spider-Man, right? Whereas Alan Wake 2, one, it's a sequel to a game that's already been out. It is horror, but it's also, like, ethereal and mystery
True
detective-y. And it's doing all these things that I think are going to turn a lot of people off from, like...
Really?
From at least the amount of people that touch the game, right? Like, I have way more...
See, I think mainstream, sure, of course, you're right on that. But I think in terms of gaming press, I think Alan Wake is going to turn heads in the fact that it is a, cult classic game that I never played because it was so old, or tried and didn't do, or enjoyed, gets this modern thing from Remedy on, you know, hot off the heels of Control, which I think put them into a different stratosphere. Like, I think it's going to get touched by a lot of people. I don't think it has to be worried about the popularity part.
This is the, I think it's like hitting the sort of art, like games as art area of gaming, as well as people who love horror games and people who love mystery, and saying like, this is the HBO project.
Exactly. If the arbiter of taste, Martin Scorsese, bellied up to the bar right now, he would play Alan Wake 2 and not Spider-Man 2.
Bellied up to the bar. What is that?
He'll come up to the bar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's interesting too. Cause so if we have two out of four locks, or two out of six locks, leaving only four spaces, and we're talking about like games that aren't even out yet, like potentials there, let alone the games that are already out that we, I feel like, are going to, like, what are the potential games that aren't locks, but like, if they were there, it wouldn't be wild?
Final Fantasy 16, which I think, honestly, I would put Final Fantasy 16 as like the most lock out of like games that aren't Baldur's Gate 3 or Zelda. I think the fact that it's Final Fantasy, I think the fact that it's excellent, the fact that it is this like big Game of Thrones style, hey, we are going big with the cutscenes, we're going big on the production, like there's so much put into it, the gameplay is really fun. I think really the only main knocks for Final Fantasy 16 are how RPG it isn't, and I don't necessarily think that makes it a worse game, right? And I think that puts it up there. And so I'm saying Final Fantasy 16.
Sorry, on this Final Fantasy 16 thread,
mm-hmm.
Do you feel that reception or public opinion on it has cooled? And I only ask that because at review, everybody's all about it. It sounded like this. And I just feel like I've heard less and less about it, which isn't unusual, obviously. But like when Hi-Fi Rush comes up, people still, I feel, pop and get crazy about Hi-Fi Rush. And granted, that's our audience and it's Barrett.
It's like 10
but
people.
I know. But I mean, like, but still, it's like Final Fantasy 16, maybe because it's just a known quantity. Oh, the game is great. It's a great game.
See, I feel the same way about Jedi Survivor and RE4, which are two other games that I think are in the conversation.
Yeah,
right? I think that might just be the amount of like, yeah, big amazing games that are coming out this year.
For sure.
Yeah, I want to keep talking about
I'm
this.
Free.
But real quick. I want to take a word from our sponsor.
What does it mean I'm free?
This episode's brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. The NFL season is going strong, and DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with an offer that's even stronger. You can bet $5 on any game this week to score $200 instantly in bonus bets, and DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of a sweetener offer every game this October. There's a ton of these football games happening, and each and every one, you're going to want to be there on DraftKings Sportsbook. You can get in on the game day greatness. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and you can use code KINDAFUNNY. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets when you bet $5 on the NFL. That's code KINDAFUNNY only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, you can call 1-877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. You can call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort KS, licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, LA. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in ONT. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions. Terms responsible gaming resources.
He took his watch off and said, I'm free.
It's like a genie.
It just doesn't feel good today. I don't know.
Okay.
Holy hell. Yeah, it's interesting because I do think that the conversation around Final Fantasy 16 is more that there's just so much stuff coming out than anything else. And I do think that that initial conversation was you either loved it for what it was or you're mad that it wasn't what it's not. And I feel like that is probably the most dominant conversation around the game, even to this day. But I do feel like at this point, those people have kind of moved, the people that didn't like it have kind of moved on, whereas the people that still rock with it are like still super stoked on it. I don't know that it's a lock, though. I mean, I think that it's not, actually. Really? Like, I think Spider-Man has a higher chance than Final Fantasy.
Oh, I probably agree with that.
I agree with that.
But I think then we get into, like, Chad's kind of going off right now, right? Like, Calvin Perez says, no shot for Jedi. Jason says, Jedi Survivor, 6 out of 10. Cameron Kennedy says, Jedi has the same problem with Spider-Man with me, but, like, but with an unpolished launch months ago before everything big hit, right? Like, I think when we start to get down to it, it's going to come down to what are the things that we can ding this game for? And I think Final Fantasy 16 has, like, a few things we can ding it for. I think Jedi Survivor is another one that it has like a few things that we can ding it for. In Diablo 4, I'm not a Diablo person, but from what I've heard about Diablo 4, as much hype as there was around that game, it sounds like there are things that people can ding Diablo 4 as well. And so like, I think it's going to be a game of like, what
I don't think as someone who loves Diablo 4, played so much Diablo 4, is excited for next week's fucking Mike trying to make me doubt myself on Games Daily today. Next week's update and the vampires and shit. Diablo 4 doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of making the top really? 6 year, I don't think. Yeah. I think Diablo 4 is a great game. I think it is a fun time suck, jump in, grind it out, do the thing. But in a year like this of stacked games, no. I think it's when you get into multiplayer and maybe best ongoing, even then people would have problem with balancing and da da da, then you have a conversation about it. But Diablo is one of those games that honestly, and this will sound like a big insult, and I don't mean it to, at least how we talk about it, reminds me a lot of Outriders. Where Diablo didn't succeed and get us all playing Diablo because there was nothing else to play. You know, it did have its hooks and it's a great game. But it was that thing that we all jumped in and really enjoyed for a couple weeks and then pretty much everybody fell off of completely, right? Like, I still come back. Joey still comes back. But I even me and Jen haven't been back in a month now.
Let's talk Diablo 4. Like, Andy, do you think that it has a chance at being in the top six?
No, only because of the more recent sort of news developments about like the DLC and how
turns out fans, Diablo's the devil.
Fans weren't happy about kind of the you know, what's happening with how they're tuning this and how loot is going to be dropping and all that stuff. I feel like those more recent news stories are going to be in people's minds because, like,
can I interrupt you?
Sure.
Because I don't
want you to. No, I'm kidding.
I don't think those will be in the voting tally's mind. I think that's such hardcore. You go and listen to the Pure Diablo podcast like I do. That's the ongoing audience's thing. It's almost like Destiny, right? Where it's like the Destiny audience is so different than gaming press. I think gaming press will just be, oh yeah, I played it for a while and it was great, but I haven't been back to it forever.
I think my problem when we talk about games as a service, like something like Diablo, is that I don't play those games like that, and I don't think that we should say, well, a lot of people fell off on it once they were done with it. Well, it's like, well, they beat the game. Like, that's something that happens. You beat a game, you move on. And I don't think that we should, obviously, Activision Blizzard dictates its success on how many concurrent players are still going. But to me, like, the only reason I didn't play that was because there was, like, three other games out at that time, and I kept wanting to go back to it. And I just never had time for it. I don't think that, I think there's a lot of people out there that had a great time with it. They played it. They did the campaign with their friends. They had a blast and they moved on. And I think it will still get high marks for, we played through it. We had a decent time, but is it game of the year worthy? I don't see it as one of those type of games.
Agreed.
Like I'm wondering like, what outside of like single player narratives makes the game of the year top six?
And what I hope does, if God shines down on me, that I think deserves it, would be Street Fighter VI. Like Street Fighter VI is such a fucking excellent game that I think
like the Forza of this year or something.
Yeah, where I think gets snubbed because it's a fighting game, right? And it's like how many people are playing this, how many people that are voting are educated enough or up enough on Street Fighter to want to write it in. But for me, like when you talk about the little flaws, right? Like the little flaw for me with Street Fighter VI would be the
single player
mode. And even with that, right? Like for a lot of people, the single player mode was good enough. I don't think anybody's like, oh man, this is the next step. This is as good as Mortal Kombat single player. But when you play Street Fighter VI, at this point, I am 70 something hours into it. And that's me like taking a break for months and months because more games came out. And the single player is such a small amount of time that I spent with Street Fighter VI to where now I'm like looking past it. And I'm like, wow, this is some of the best. Some of the most fun I've had in a game this year. This is one of the most solid fighting games I've probably ever played. And like,
I mean, debatably, it is the most solid, right?
Yeah.
Fighting game ever made.
It is incredible. And it is one that I think for sure deserves to be there. Does it actually get there? I think that becomes more of the question.
Yeah. What's the biggest surprise this year? Because I think last year, Stray. Mm-hmm. That's the big surprise for me where I'm like, wow, that's here. That's kind of wild.
As the game of the year?
Yeah, as a top six.
I don't think there'll be a surprise. I just don't think that there's room.
I don't think so either, but the stuff we've talked about, right, I would think Sea of Stars would be a surprise to me on overall game of the year.
There's no chance.
But,
I mean, what was the other game?
Hi-Fi Rush.
The one that stars Amelia.
Hi-Fi Rush would be the surprise. Amelia? That's not happening.
What was the one from last year? It was like a sequel, a lot of rats.
Plague Tale.
Amicia.
Hi-Fi Rush would be a surprise. I would love it, but it is one of those like unfortunate where like it came out. Like if Hi-Fi Rush came out a month ago, you know, I feel like there'd be a better chance. But because it came out in January, it's just like not fresh in people's minds.
Hi-Fi Rush is not the top six game of the year.
Is it too many rats in this game?
I love it. It's not in the same level as many of the games.
Less flawed than Jedi Survivor.
What?
Less flawed than Jedi Survivor.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah. I mean, Jedi Survivor's a better game. It's like, take away the flaw.
I would disagree with that.
100%.
1,000% not.
I'm the Jedi Fallen Order hater. You all know that. Jedi Survivor is a better game than
Hi-Fi Rush?
Yeah, that's right. This is the taste here.
Hi-Fi Rush had a solid
fucking loosen the beanie, Barrett.
Yeah, quit fucking midichlorians over there.
I'm the Star Wars fanboy too.
I think Hi-Fi Rush is
Ahsoka now. He doesn't want to hear about it. You know what I mean?
Hi-Fi Rush might be in my top and get out of my studio. But
like, I think that's a sleeper contender. I'd be very surprised to see it in Game Awards nominees.
If it's in your top six,
it's in my top six,
it's
though.
It's not
yeah.
in the world's top six.
That's fair. Like I think, and that's a good point. Where like I think for Hi-Fi Rush to make it, or for any game to make it, it has to be in some people's number one.
Exactly.
And I don't know if Hi-Fi Rush is anybody's number one.
But Jedi Survivor is.
So now here's another question. Ooh, it comes from the chat. Long, it's actually a comment that I'm going to make into a question. But thanks, Calvin Perez, for reminding me. Hogwarts Legacy.
That is actually an excellent point.
But Calvin's actual thing is, remember when people thought Hogwarts Legacy had a fighting chance this year? LMAO. Like, I agree with that. Where in the beginning of the year, oh, this giant open world wizard game, people were having a lot of fun with or whatever. It's another one where I have not heard. I think sales, obviously. The Harry Potter fan base, obviously. Yeah.
To your point, though, about like not hearing about it, we're not hearing about Zelda anymore. That's the year that we're having.
Because of Starfield.
No, I mean, real talk though, just because there's so much stuff. No, I don't think people are talking about anything still.
No, but I will say that I think Hogwarts Legacy is like the NBA 2K or Madden of single player games, where it sells a fuckload.
Yeah, it's so mainstream.
But I didn't see any game this year lose traction of the general audience faster than Hogwarts Legacy.
It was the videos of people showing combat started going on.
It was the talk of the town because of controversy and because of people saying this is an amazing RPG, everybody needs to play it, and I've never seen a conversation die down faster where it's like, oh shit, that was last month. God damn, that came and went extremely fast. Faster than anything else I could remember this year, where it's like Wolong. I bring up Wild Hearts, and that.
Oh, Wild Hearts.
The conversation died as quickly for those as it did for Hogwarts Legacy, which is crazy because that game sold gangbusters.
But I feel like you can apply that to any single game this year. Like Jedi Survivor had a 2-week conversation, and it was like, oh, it didn't work these 2 weeks. And that was the end of that conversation. And that's the taste in people's mouths about it. But like, you look at Resident Evil 4, there wasn't even a conversation about it. Dead Space, there wasn't even a conversation. And we're talking about games that are like critically beloved and like we see them as potentially being deserving of being here. We know they're not going to be, but
that's my thing, is like those were remakes, you know what I mean, of games you knew that were known quantities you knew were gonna be. You say there's no one's talking about Zelda anymore. I disagree. I still see people talk about Zelda, and here like there's been this new resurgence in a respectful fashion from you and other people about the actual ending of Zelda, right? Like that there is a conversation happening there, let alone that. Baldur's Gate, right? That story continues. Granted, it's because it's 150 hours game. Yeah, but well, to your point of like everything's gotten a 2-week conversation. Not everything. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Whereas I think a Star Wars Jedi, even though I loved it and had such a great time with it, it is that boom, blockbuster movie. You go and see it. You all have fun with it. And then, yeah, you move on. And when we get closer to the third installment, we'll start remembering, oh, what remember Bode and remember Marin and remember this. And of course, when I get my PlayStation Portal, that's on the list to go platinum. But there's, you know, that's that kind of game. And granted, I knew game of the year on thin years, that kind of game can be game of the year. But on game of the year for the best year in gaming ever, like it's going to be a different conversation on what you need to bring to the table.
Do we think that the conversation would have lasted longer and been more impactful throughout whenever we bring up these topics like this, which
according to our audiences, every episode,
every episode, every day. If RE2 had the RE2 remake version of itself this year, because RE4 was already one of the top rated games of all time, third person behind the shoulder action game, and they made it look a lot prettier and improved quality of life type stuff. Do we think the conversation would have been a lot more impactful, more important if RE...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
E4 was originally a top-down isometric game, or like, you know, the way you're used to tank controls and shit like that, similar to if Metroid Prime was originally not a first-person type game, if it was just
you're bringing up the point that
like if they did a radical change the way RE2 had
RE4 it. Remake is almost your rose-tinted glasses of RE4.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also think it's the thing of we had RE2 Remake in 2019, and for me, I'm playing these games for the first time, right? RE2 Remake was one of my games of the year of that year, right? It was an incredible experience. I couldn't believe RE2 was that good. I played RE3 Remake. I played RE7 and RE Village in between all that. And now I'm playing RE4 Remake, and it feels like more RE. Again, as somebody who's coming in and playing these games for the first time, I think if RE4 Remake was like not coming off of us already having a bunch of RE, especially RE2, yeah, I think the impact of it would have been way more. I think for me, I would have been like, yo, this is fucking incredible.
I have the same thought about Dead Space, where like I'd never really messed with the original Dead Space, but I played this year and I freaking loved it.
Yeah.
If the original Dead Space was a super shitty bad game that had awesome ideas and then they made it this third person action horror game, would we be talking about it this year? Like, wow, what a massive glow up for the Dead Space game. But it ended up being a much prettier game with quality of life.
For me, different years.
Yeah, and I think for me, a lot of my like response while playing RE4 Remake was like, oh yeah, like this is cool. It's more RE. And also, I think I might have liked RE2 Remake better, right? Like that was where my thought process was with it. Because like at this point, the way that they're making RE make them feel like more of a like beat-to-beat, sequelized franchise as opposed to these big moves that you had between RE2, RE3 originally, and RE4 that felt like these big steps between games.
I'm totally with you, and I think that the conversation around 4, despite 4 Remake being, I think, objectively the best of them, it's like when you have just played through 2 with such a glow up and it's such a great experience with the zombies and it's everything you have heard about RE, but it just presented well and played well, and then you played Village, which is such a similar like location to 8 to 4, and then you play 4. It's like there was just been so much that I feel like this what makes RE4 special to a first timer is kind of drowned out a bit, and I feel like even in a different year, like RE2 Remake, for as much as I love that, it would not be in the top 6 this year.
Okay,
you know what I mean. So it's like I feel like
that's good to have that knowledge, because I'm just not sure how massive these upgrades are for people like you all who are like the diehards.
I mean, Greg put it really well, that the RE4 Remake does just feel like how we remember RE4 being, but it's not. It's clearly way better, but it kind of feels that way. RE2 Remake is a different game.
Gotcha.
It is totally different game.
A couple ones I'll throw out for like dark horses / indie games. Cocoon, you know, like there's a pretty good conversation happening around Cocoon.
Yeah.
Right now on Metacritic, it's sitting at a 92, which is,
and everyone that I respect and follow is talking about like, oh my god, yeah, this is amazing.
And I've only gotten to play a little bit of it, but based on what I played, I'm like, yeah, if we're talking about indie games of the year, the Cocoon is right there.
Yeah.
And then there's another one I see here on Metacritic that I feel like I've only heard of momentarily, called The Case of the Golden Idol, and that has a 93 on Metacritic.
Was that late last year? Because that came out last year.
You're right. It's
James was obsessed with this one.
Gotcha. The entire Giant Bomb crew fucking loves
it. I assume it's a
game.
Port then that got the score.
It just got DLC, Losers. I think.
Oh, is that it? Because yeah, I'm looking. The release on October 13th, 2022. So never mind about
Lucy
that.
Lucy listening to Nine Inch Nails and playing. That's how you play Case of the Golden Eyes.
Of course.
You know, it's not that Trent Reznor's doing stuff.
Discovering things.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So I want to go back to one that we dismissed early on, but I kind of want to hear a little more discussion on Starfield. Because like it's funny, like almost immediately after we had the conversation of Starfield and moving on, it was just like, oh, well, Spider-Man's the big PlayStation game. Mario's the big Nintendo game. Starfield's the big Xbox game. Like, and you loved Starfield. And correct. People like mixed whatever. Where's the conversation at with Starfield now? Because I feel like post-review, people are really into it.
I think it's either the conversation I see is someone who just tweeted about it yesterday. Is either because I tweeted like there's not a day that goes by that I don't wish I had more spare time to play.
According to my sources, Starfield. My tweet from yesterday.
But I mean, what I as holding up that lightning rod, it's either you're 100% right, Greg, or you're a fucking joke. Are you kidding me? And I feel like that's where it is. Of like either you really vibe with Starfield, or you're like, oh my god, this game feels like it's Fallout. It feels like Bethesda from a different generation. They're not even part of this current generation. I think that right there is what eliminates it from being one of the six.
I think it's easily RPG nomination of the year.
Of course.
I don't see it.
I think Baldur's Gate kicks the living shit out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, but it's that weird thing with my TikTok algorithm, too, where I either see very positive TikToks about Starfield or super negative. And whenever I click into the comments always agree with whatever opinion that is.
Yeah, right.
I read through so many negative opinions about Starfield, and I was like, huh, didn't know people felt this way. And I saw like another positive one, and I was like, huh. All right, turns out people had different opinions.
There's something about Starfield, though, that I feel like the fact that there are that many people that rock that hard, I can see them rocking, and it's showing up. Like, we always talk about the splitting of the votes.
Yeah, but I feel like that's the thing right now. Like, I will be 100% frank with you. Right now, as of October 10th, Starfield is my game of the year. It is my number one slot right now. And so that is me, of course, understanding all the follies and all the problems and yada, yada, yada. And I feel like
How are we going to play the game, Blake?
There are a lot. There are a lot of me out there. There are a lot of me out there, but I don't think there's a lot of me at every outlet. I don't think there's a lot of me at this outlet, right? Like, when we get to doing top 10, if it's still my number one and I give it all my 10 votes or whatever, like, I know I'm throwing those votes away.
Yeah, you're.
I know you're going to make it game of the year.
You like
for
Star
us.
Wars more than Hi-Fi Rush, this guy. I mean,
exactly.
Well, you shook my hand on that.
Exactly.
But I feel like that's how it is. You know, you're talking about like knocking each other out. I feel like at an IGN, a GameSpot, a Giant Bomb, whatever, with the exception of Jeff Gerstmann's show, whatever he thinks is it is what it is. But like, I feel like you get to those outlets, and even if there is somebody who's like stumping for it, there's going to be enough people being like, well, no, I didn't like X, Y, and Z, and that's why it's the outlet's vote and not the person's vote.
Quick counterpoint, though. Like, even though you feel like you're going to be throwing your points away, like, you still have, like, Mike was really into it. Paris was really into it.
And that's how I know I'm wrong. Yeah. Mike's into it. Exactly. Paris is into it. So what the fuck's wrong with me?
So I think while you definitely feel like there might be like a downward trend of people being into Starfield, I think there's going to be enough. Like, I think Starfield will be like one of the ones that gets nominated by like the skin of its teeth.
Kind of. It'll be like the game too, with the BCA in it.
I think that there's so many bangers this year. That it won't, it just won't have the juice.
But now,
I think we're so undecided this year.
It'll be a lot of people's. If it's gonna be a lot of people's, if it's gonna be a lot of outlets. If it's gonna be a lot of Jeff's voting outlets, it'll be a lot of people's like fives or sixes, and I think that ends up getting knocked down because.
I got a question to throw in here. I think you should go first because I think mine's gonna be a little bit more off topic.
Well, this is coming off of like Starfield, and like I feel like kind of the reverse of me and Greg where I played Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty.
Yeah, dog, like, that's where I'm going.
That's one where I'm like, oh, I think that I would see this nominated as Game of the Year, right? When you're talking about like a thing that came through and really had an impact and like really lived up to the occasion and feels like a brand new game in 2023, right? Like I think it'd be dope to see that as DLC nominated for Game of the Year. I don't know if it'll happen, but
I think it's chunky and big enough and the fact that it is Idris Elba leading the screen, and he is one of the main characters in this story. I can easily see it. Like, I'm...
You know
like,
he's getting a nomination.
I am... Absolutely. Yeah. Putting this in my top 10 because of how impressed I am with it so far. And usually with DLCs, it's always like, is this, like, a contender, rather? Let me do a contender. Mm. Is this lengthy enough? Is there enough, you know... mass in here? Is there enough food in this little case in this Lunchable? Mm-hmm. Are there enough crackers and ham?
Yeah.
Greg, you know?
Yeah, that's
what about
ham.
The Oreos and the Capri Sun?
Yeah.
Pacific Cooler, I'm in. I think that it's large enough. I think this DLC is big enough and doing enough impressive things, especially when there have been so many stories about can Cyberpunk ever have its No Man's Sky redemption?
See, that's my conundrum is do I write in Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty or do I just write in Cyberpunk 2077? Because like
Liberty.
They would put them together.
They would mash them together. Yeah, but I think on the end of just Cyberpunk 2.0 and how good of a revamp that's been for Cyberpunk, It looks better. It was way less glitches. I had like maybe only one or two glitches in Cyberpunk while playing through Phantom Liberty, right? And putting in maybe an additional 25 hours into the game, which is way less than I had in 2020 when I reviewed it, right? Like, between how leveled up the writing is in Phantom Liberty and Idris Elba and the performances and presentation and combat and like skill tree, I can keep going. Like, this game is fucking awesome. Yeah.
Okay,
like,
when are you going to play it?
I want to
really enjoy Phantom Liberty.
Honestly, we're going to make
him
play it.
I think that Phantom Liberty is likely. I don't think it's a shoo-in by any means, but I think it is 100% in the conversation that it is a toss-up between that and most of the other things we're talking
about. Yeah, like, it's in my, for the year, I'll put it in my top five, maybe top three, honestly. Like, I put it up a tweet of, like, you know, this Cyberpunk 2.0 plus Phantom Liberty, I think it's taken up Cyberpunk to being in my, one of my favorite Western RPGs of all time, or I guess just RPGs of all time, right? Like, it is fucking incredible now.
Wonder if enough people have gone back to it, though, with just how much new shit there is out there, you know?
Yeah.
They were killing it with just like Steam numbers. They were breaking their records of like concurrent people
in the industry, back, though.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think because the DLC is this like big new story drop, this big new content drop, I think that's enough to demand attention and demand people coming back and playing it. And I think within outlets, you then have word of mouth of people going, oh, hey, y'all got to play this for Game of the Year.
Yeah, and I also, I get your line of thinking, Baird, but I've always kind of tricked myself going the wrong way and going like, yeah, but will the industry really fuck with this? Or this game's certainly going to be there because the industry loves it, and that never happens. Like, Tim is right. The Spider-Man thing, Spider-Man will likely be in that list because of just the mass popularity. And there have been so many games that I'm like, oh, but dude, my Twitter's blowing up about it. Like, all the games industry folks I follow love this one game that came out 2 years ago, and then it's nowhere in any of the nominations.
Yeah, and but that's kind of feeding into my argument, though, is that, like, I see a lot of people, or not a lot of people, like, I see a good amount of people talking about Cyberpunk, but I don't feel like it's, that conversation has been widespread across the industry of people who'd be voting.
Interesting. You know?
I don't know, man. I think it's, again, in the conversation. Like, I feel like there's so,
if I feel like there,
the same arguments we could make against this, we could make against anything of just like, oh, there's just so much to play.
Like, that's how I feel about Armored Core 6, where it's
Haven't even brought that up.
Like, yeah. Armored Core 6 is probably one of the best games I've played this year, but also I've not seen as much conversation about Armored Core 6 because it's a bit
is
more
there a chance?
Of a thing.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think. I think best action game, game of the year. Yeah.
And it should win best action game.
I agree. That or Hi-Fi Rush.
Hell yeah, bless.
Yeah, let's go.
So much
or Liza P. Put Liza P in there too.
I feel like Starfield and Final Fantasy 16 have equal chances of being in here. Because I think both of them have enough on the pros and cons of how people see them.
What were the cons for Final Fantasy?
That it's not a Final Fantasy, quote unquote.
I think I think it's like the hardcore nerds being. That's my thing, is I think it's the hardcore nerds being nerds about it that like are beating down Final Fantasy 16 in this way, right?
Yeah, I thought the Final Fantasy kind of issues were coming from the same type of people that would like, you know, say Xbox better. Like, I thought it was that same sort of vibe of like, yeah, but like certain people are saying that aren't necessarily, you know, people that you would
look for the
recommendation.
I'd give a little more credit than that for this conversation, not entirely, but I think at least like I know large swaths of people that feel this way, and whether it's just because it's not an RPG in this way, that way, or the side quests, how open some things are, how linear most things are, like that type of stuff, like there's actual valid criticism, not just like
tribalism. I mean, my criticism was the side quests, a lot of very, very like just unrewarding side quests, and some of them were good, and it was what sucked was like me having to ask my audience and the kind of funny audience, what side quest should I play? Because I don't want to waste my time on the ones that do suck, because there's a lot of them that you know, here's 20 gil and a little pat on the back. And it's like, none of that was really interesting. I feel like there's a lot of side quests like that. And there are some that are absolute gems that you shouldn't miss out on. And it just kind of sucked. It kind of sucked having to deal with the other ones and seeing the much lesser quality in production, because game development is expensive and not everything can have top of the line type budget, but you know, again, seeing these amazing action sequences and then talking to NPC and it's MMO from 2007, NPC animations with mouth flap, and it's like, ooh, this is like a different game that I'm playing right now.
I think that's the tough thing about Final Fantasy 16 is that there's, a handful of different things where you can nitpick and bring it down, and I think does bring it to like that Starfield thing of you have like the side quests not being as robust and not being maybe as interesting all the time as you might want, right? You have the shift in what Final Fantasy has been in terms of turn-based combat and all that stuff that's going to hit people in different ways. You have like the controversy in terms of like, oh man, you're not putting black people in your game? Like, what's up with that? And them handling all the statements about that from the director, right? Like, not being that great.
Especially with a game that's like all the heavy commentary on slavery.
Exactly,
stuff.
Right? Yeah. Like, I think all that stuff stacks up against it, but I also don't know if that's one where, you know, is that going to reflect back on IGN voting on it or GameSpot voting on it, right? Or is that a thing that is focused on message board, like Final Fantasy Reddits or message boards and stuff, right? Is that where that conversation is happening?
I mean, the game needs to get nominated because we need to hear Find the Flame in the orchestra.
Oh, my God.
We have.
Holy shit.
I love how little consensus there is today.
No, it's great.
Like, what the game
yeah,
should be.
No, what's funny is Mario Wonder to me is a very, very big question mark because I've been talking about this a lot. And again, I've only played an hour of it for a preview. But everything that we've seen of it, like, it's funny. As somebody that loves Mario, has played all the Mario games, most of them to 100% completion, if not all of the mainline 2D games. I rock with it in a way most people don't. Most people, maybe they tried. Like, I'd be willing to bet that the majority of people that are even excited about Mario Wonder didn't beat the last three or four 2D Mario games.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine. But there's a lot going for this one that I think people are going to be interested in jumping into. And I imagine it's going to deliver. And even I think that this game is going to, no matter what, be super well received because even the things that aren't brand new to it, people will think are new because they haven't played and experienced it for the last 10 years or so. I just wonder, like, there's something.
Hey, God dang.
There's something about it that I don't know how much of a shoo-in it is. Like, that's pretty crazy to me that, like, I'm thinking that. And maybe it's the Nintendo. We already have Zelda, the way people are thinking about all this stuff. They're different.
I think it's the fact that it's a 2D Mario, not a 3D Mario. Like, yeah, I think if it's an Odyssey 2, that it is, with all the creation and creativity that we know Nintendo brings, I think a 3D Mario is a shoo-in. But a 2D Mario, that does feel kind of lackluster. Like, unless you're an indie game like Celeste, which kind of caught the world by fire that year, I don't know if Wonder can do it. The only reason I said it was because of, like, this looks like the first offering from Nintendo in a while in a 2D sense that is really doing something massively different. Maker obviously existed, but Maker never felt official in any way.
It's important to point out that Mario hasn't had a 2D game that, like, crossed the, like, 90 Metacritic in...
Really?
In a very, very, very long time. Like, I don't think since... like World, if that even had it back then. But I assume, again, just guessing based on how the industry is and based on what I played in this game, I assume that this one has a chance. Like, I think this could crack that review score. And if it does, then I think it's like has a much higher chance of being in here, obviously. But, like, I don't know. It's not a lock for
me. The thing that's tough is that, like, I view Super Mario Wonder as that, like, you know, Nintendo being creative, making this family thing, making a platform, and I put it in that same category as a Kirby and the Forgotten Land and what that did last year. When I look at the nominees last year, right, Kirby and the Forgotten Land didn't make it to Game of the Year. Xenoblade Chronicles did. And, like, I think in the same way, this year could be Legend of Zelda, being that ambitious 100-hour, like, you know, big old game that we've all been waiting for, and then Mario come through as
big old game.
Big old game. But then Mario coming through as this charming, you know, 2D platformer type thing that doesn't blow people away in the same way that a big open world game does.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point.
You know, it's the world's wrong. I disagree with the world. Stray also got nominated last year. It's like, what are we doing? But
yeah. Have we missed any of the giant big ones? Because I don't think so, right?
I mean, we didn't talk about Liza P.
If Armored Core 6 doesn't have a chance.
Yeah, that's my thing, is I put Liza P in that same Armored Core 6 conversation of, I think a specific group of people really rock with this thing. Me and Andy are in that group. Barrett's in that group for Armored Core, at least. I don't think the industry-wide is going to hit that, right? Like, I look at the IGN scores for both those, and I think IGN gave both those games an 8. I think GameSpot might be aligned with that, too. And so, like, if the overall consensus for media and outlets is, like, 8s and 9s, I think you got to be hitting more than that in order to get into the conversation.
Yeah, I'm with that. I think those are action game of the year for sure, shoo-ins, but I don't see them quite on that echelon. I think if it's, I mean, who knows? Maybe you put the From Software title on there and say, like, this is a From Software game. Maybe, like,
yeah, they're nominated the last two times.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a taste for those games, right?
Yeah.
But like, do you guys think that Liza P doesn't sound like it, but do you think Liza P kind of like hits that level that Rum does?
I do personally, in terms of like the gameplay. I don't know if it does in terms of the impact. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it is very much, hey, we want to make Bloodborne, and they made a real damn good Bloodborne, right? Like mixed with a lot of other elements, but they made a really good one of those. I think the thing with From Software is that when you look at their last few games, you know, like, or let's take it back to 2015, right? Bloodborne came through and it was fucking Bloodborne, right? Some years later, they come out with Sekiro, and Sekiro is different. It's fresh. It has this cool parry system. It does all this stuff and it hits. A few years later, you have Elden Ring. And like all these games are moving things forward.
Genre defining
games. Liza P isn't genre defining. It's just a really good one of those. And so I think that's the thing that holds it back.
And I think it's easily the best Souls-like that's out there. And I would put it above Demon Souls in my own like rankings of like, Andy, is this game better than any of the actual From Software games? I think Demon Souls would be it. But I certainly like its combat more than like Dark Souls 1. I think the combat's fantastic, but it doesn't quite have that the wonder and the level design. Mario Wonder. but it's so phenomenal that it kind of has no business being as good as it is.
Does Dave the Diver not have a chance?
Ooh,
that'll be an indie title.
Yeah,
that'll
it doesn't have a chance for Game of the Year, but yeah.
Is that an indie game? Dave the Diver?
Yeah.
I feel like we've had this conversation before where it's like developed. I forget who developed it, but. Like,
oh, really? Oh, I didn't know it was one of those. I thought it was a, like, just a smaller indie studio. I think it's definitely going to get some sort of nomination.
It's published by Nexon.
Well, yeah, we're not talking about publisher there. You're talking about developer.
Mm.
Mint Rocket.
I'd have to look into their games, but I think they made like a lot of bigger games.
Oh, well, hold on. Yeah,
you're right. They have 570 employees.
Exactly.
I clicked on Mint Rocket, yeah, and it took me to the Nexon page. So are they owned by
them? I think that's still an indie title, though.
In 2022, Nexon announced the launch of Mint Rocket, a sub-brand of division of Nexon that specialized. So no, it's not.
If you're a sub-brand.
I mean, there's not an indie award anyways, right? There is?
Yeah, debut indie for sure.
Debut.
I think there's also a best indie.
Yeah. Okay, then yeah.
Yeah, because they used to have debut indie and overall indie, which is always very confusing and weird. Because Vampire Survivors won best debut. But it didn't win, or there was one of those games that like should have gotten both. It was kind of like, why doesn't this win both?
So closing this out, is there any game that you guys think should be there that you just know is not going to be?
Armored Core,
Hi-Fi Rush.
Because for me, it's Jedi Survivor. Like I can't believe that we have a year that game comes out that it's not one of the top six.
Yeah,
I can. It's a great game.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, I don't, with this whole toss up, like, again, my personal connection to Starfield, but I understand why I won't be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know what you mean.
I'm not offended.
I mean, based on the demo for Ghost Runner 2, like, probably, like, such a great time, such an awesome game, but of course it won't be there. It's personally going to be one of my favorites of the year, I can tell.
I'm going to shout out from chat Octopath Traveler 2.
I was going to say that's actually a great grab. I did have a lot of fun with
Street Fighter 6 is my answer, though. I think Street Fighter 6 1,000% should be there, and I don't think it's going to be there.
Shout out to SpongeBob SquarePants, the Cosmic Shake. Very big game this year. Really quick question I have for y'all, because, you know, for the last few months we've had this conversation here and there, and like always the conversations, the locks are these two games.
The
Legends of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, and Baldur's Gate 3, which I personally believe is what the winner is going to come down to is between these two games. Who do you think is going to win between the two?
At the Game Awards.
Yes.
Legend of Zelda.
I think so, too.
I really don't know.
I think Baldur's
Gate. It's close.
I think Baldur's Gate only clear. because Breath of the Wild won. I think it's just say we'll go with a different thing.
I think it's a better story. If Baldur's Gate 3 wins, I think if I had I would vote for Zelda Tears of the Kingdom because I still get blown away by the fact that that game even works the way it does.
Yeah.
Like the fact that that game doesn't even buckle under all the shit that you're doing. Like that game shouldn't exist the way it exists. But Baldur's Gate 3, when you're talking about like moving a genre forward and really having like a, hey, this is how you make an RPG in 2023. I think Baldur's Gate 3 does that so well that I think it would make a better story.
For me, I'm equally impressed by both of what they do. I think Baldur's Gate is... I think Tears of the Kingdom is more impressive because Baldur's Gate is just doing what other RPGs should be doing.
Yeah.
Where, like, Tears of the Kingdom is taking the creativity and systems and mechanics to a different level, where Baldur's Gate is, like, just doing what you would expect other RPGs to do, but usually there's just not enough development time or budget or resources to put through all of the different, like, well, if you took a shit on that little fucking piece of wood, then the guy 8 hours later will be like, hey, did you take a piece of shit on wood? Like, it's doing what other RPGs should be doing way better, but I think Tears of the Kingdom is a more impressive
Tears,
video
the moments
game.
In Tears of the Kingdom, right? Like, so many of those mythic moments of, like, when you get the Master Sword or when you do, like, when you solve certain quests and all that stuff. Like, there's a build-up to moments in that game that are going to stick with me for a lifetime in the same way that Ocarina did.
Yeah. I compare it to my time with Breath of the Wild, where, like, I was so impressed by Breath of the Wild, not by any of the story stuff, not by any of the cutscenes, but just by the sheer, like, gameplay and exploration and discovery. And Tears did that along with all of the hype moments and making me cry fucking 5 times in 3 hours. Like, god damn.
That game had, like, 3 levels of maps. Like, it had, like, a fucking sky map, a ground map, and then it's underground.
Real impressive.
But also, Baldur's Gate 3, I could roll dice and then kick a squirrel.
Yeah,
that's big. Yeah. So let's put our votes in on what do we think at this moment, as of October 10th, 2023, who thinks that Zelda has it? So, okay. Tim and Greg say Zelda, and Andy and Bless say Baldur's Gate. So now, to close out this episode,
Gollum.
I want each one of us to predict what the 6 are. So, Baldur's Gate and Zelda are 2. So, we each need to say 4. I'm going Starfield, Final Fantasy 16, Spider-Man 2, and Mario Wonder.
Okay.
Why do I have up song lyrics? I was looking up games 2023. Okay. Baldur's Gate, Tears of the Kingdom, Spider-Man, Street Fighter 6. That's for you, Bless.
Hell yeah. Love you for that.
I'm going to go Final Fantasy 16 and Alan Wake 2. What a year, man. Holy shit.
Right?
Sorry, I'm finalizing. Damn.
Phantom Liberty is my one that I'm like, it's that or Mario Wonder.
Phantom Liberty, I really want to put in there, but I think the fact that there are so many banger, like, new games that came out this year is the one reason why I don't think I'm going to include it. But yeah, Zelda, Baldur's, and then for me, it's going to be Spider-Man 2, Street Fighter 6, Final Fantasy 16, Mario Brothers Wonder.
Reggie Miller. Close us out here.
Zelda, Baldur's Gate, Spider-Man 2, Super Mario Wonder, Alan Wake 2, Cyberpunk 2077.
Ooh.
Wow. I hope Cyberpunk makes it, Jim.
You said Alan Wake 2?
I did.
Wake up, Samurai.
Hey, Night City! Well,
and Pacifica's just Pacifica.
There you go, everybody. Let us know in the comments below what you think the 6 nominees for Game of the Year at the Game Awards 2023 will be. Of course, stay tuned to us for the next couple weeks and months and years and everything, because we're going to be covering all the video games coming out. Of course, we will be live reacting to the Game Awards in December. I'm sure we'll even be doing our predictions topics once the nominees are officially announced, to go through topic by topic, category by category, what we think is going to win. But have fun out there. You know?
Have fun.
It's the calm before the storm, and it's not calm at all, but the storm's coming next week, y'all. We got Mario Wonder, we got Spider-Man, and then right off of that, we have Alan Wake 2. But before that, what do we have, Bless?
We got Sonic Superstars.
We got Sonic Superstars, baby. See you next week. Bye.
You guys start Spider-Man yet?